Now, you're welcome back to part three of Religion Matters. This is Brenda Dunn with you until 9 o'clock this morning. Hopefully I'm not croaking too much as I get through the show. Now, in Ireland, we are seeing an increasing growth of cyberbullying, with approximately 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys reporting that they have been targeted. And unlike traditional bullying, there's no safe haven for the victims of cyberbullying, who can be reached in their homes at any time of the day or night, and the bullying can be relentless. Now, a new book, Understanding Cyberbullying, A Guide for Parents and Teachers, is written by Dr. Mona O'Moore. She's founder of the Anti-Bullying Research Centre and one of Ireland's leading experts on the subjects of bullying and cyberbullying, and she joins me on the phone now. Good morning, Mona.
Good morning, Brenda.
Thanks very much for joining us this morning. Now, first of all, just tell me about the book and why you decided to write on such an important subject at this time.
Well, I think cyberbullying is becoming an increasing problem because children are becoming also more technologically advanced, and in having those skills, they're then able to manipulate, you know, the technology in order to embarrass, undermine, and indeed perhaps meet their own sort of psychological needs. So in other words, I think parents often are seeking answers, and I think one of the very common questions that parents come up with is, how do I know if my child or teenager is being cyberbullied? Because we've had, you know, very serious sort of consequences as a result of the cyberbullying. And so I think there was a need for providing what one might call a sort of a deeper understanding of the problem and the many forms that it takes. Also, I think to give people an understanding of the characteristics of those involved, because cyberbullying is a bit different from traditional bullying in so much that the roles overlap. So whereas, you know, with traditional bullying, we could think of perhaps pure victims and pure bullies and bully victims. Now we know that, for example, those who are pure traditional victims can actually become cyber bullies, and those who are traditional bullies can actually become cyber victims. So I think, you know, we need that understanding. And also, I think what is very important, and there is a chapter in the book which actually provides an understanding of the law as it can be applied to cyberbullying, and that chapter is written by Mary Smith, who's an expert then in the sort of legal aspects of sort of education. And then it's also got a very, so quite apart from the sort of basic understanding then in terms of, you know, what cyberbullying is, the characteristics of the children, and indeed the coping strategies that are being used, it also, in a sense, makes recommendations for what I regard as best practice, which can then be a guide for schools and indeed teachers. And then there are then the chapters for parents specifically in terms of how they can actually prevent it, and then how they might respond to a situation when they find out that their child has been a victim, or indeed when they find out when their child has been a cyberbully. And I think that's one of the sort of important aspects, and also how every parent and how every parent should, in a sense, talk to their children and teenagers about the subject to see indeed how they can play a role in preventing it. So everyone, in a sense, should develop a greater civic responsibility and become what I feel is an active bystander. And if we have that, then, of course, there's going to be far less children and teenagers who are going to be affected by cyberbullying, which we know can, as our United Nations General Secretary said, can cut promising lives short.
Yeah. Mona, I often think of parents and giving the Wi-Fi password, giving their kids a smartphone when they're 9, 10, 11 and 12. And what I would say is that parents wouldn't give the keys of their car to their child or their teenager without training them and having them trained. And the same very much should apply when it comes to parents giving their children access to the internet or to a smartphone. Would you agree?
Well, I think they should have serious, you know, they should really give serious consideration to all the negative aspects in terms of just exactly what you did. You know, it's quite interesting to see the, you know, the absolute significant percentage of parents who actually might help their children below the age of 13 to develop a Facebook account. And as a result of that, it would appear that they're not really monitoring it, because in some ways they know they've done wrong. So there seems to be greater sort of monitoring of by parents of children, of teenagers, because in a sense they feel that, okay, you know, the children themselves are teenagers, have set up their own accounts. But it is, you know, in a sense, totally contraindicative to allow children below 13 to develop accounts that are essentially then developed for teenagers. Now, I know that parents, you know, this is one of the recommendations I make, is to get the balance between what I call the sort of snooper parent or helicopter parent as compared to the one who then, you know, has the conversation with their children and teenagers to make sure, for example, that they have the internet safety skills. And even at that, you know, they need to, I think, all the time. In fact, the book gives a sort of a checklist so that parents could sit down, you know, with their young ones and see to what extent, you know, are they understanding of the internet safety skills, so that they don't sort of endanger themselves. And I think this is one of the very interesting situations. You know, as I say, children and teenagers are so reluctant to say that they're being cyberbullied, or indeed being traditionally bullied for as such. But anyway, we're dealing with cyberbullying, and they just are so reluctant to tell a parent or a teenager. And part of it is because I think they themselves feel somewhat ashamed. They feel that they realize that they've actually been in breach of sort of the internet safety recommendations. Mm. And of course, then we mustn't underestimate that they are really scared of the reprisals, because in a lot of the cyberbullying tactics, there's, you know, veiled threats and so on and so forth. And unless they can kind of trust adults and, you know, teachers in dealing with it perhaps more effectively, they're just going to keep it, in a sense, under the radar and not say. And yet, I need to say at this point, in case I should forget it, that one of the best coping strategies, the most effective for mental health, is for young people to actually share their problem, you know, with others. Now, they get some sort of help by sharing it with their peers, and that's very good. But certainly parents, I think, and teachers should let them know that they're not going to be punitive. They're not going to judge them. They are going to help them. And, you know, that they will try and find a way. And that's where I think teachers and parents can work so well together in a really collaborative way. If they have that very kind of open, supportive approach to cyberbullying. So it's not about punishing.
I suppose the other concern on behalf of the young person might be that if they go to a parent who they know doesn't have Facebook themselves, isn't on Twitter, doesn't understand social media or gaming or websites, that the parent might just say, right, I'm taking that phone from you, or that's it, I'm changing the Wi-Fi password, that iPad is gone, that they might be afraid that they're going to lose contact with the online world if they report the fact that they are being bullied by one or two people.
Yes, you're correct. And in fact, that is one of the reasons that young people give for not telling their parents. So, you know, the research literature will have documented that very reason. But I think even more reason then for parents to have a conversation with all their young people to let them know that should they become a victim and should they be targeted in a way that is affecting their mental health, that they will, for example, not take that punitive step, but rather that they will sit down and see how can they, you know, resolve the situation and make the situation better. And also then, you know, perhaps get onto the school to see what their policy is and then to follow the steps that the school has in terms of reporting and investigating and supporting, you know, the victims. And indeed, you know, if your child or a child is found to be the cyberbully, again, not to be punitive, because again, it may be that that child is actually, or that teenager is someone now who's trying to sort of get his revenge by having been traditionally bullied. So for every young person that is involved in cyberbullying, the chances are, you know, 70% of them or more are actually also involved in being traditionally bullied or being a traditional bully. So it's a wonderful opportunity in a sense to
really
get to the bottom of a lot of, you know, the negative behaviors, which again reflects unmet psychological needs and, you know, great unhappiness, which can lead, as I say, to depression and self-harm and indeed suicide.
Now, the book is a fascinating read. I had established my own 8 simple rules as a parent for my teenage daughter, which I had published about 3 or 4 years ago online. It would have been great to have this resource, but this resource is Understanding Cyberbullying. It's a guide for parents and teachers. It's a fantastic resource. It's published by Veritas. It's available in all good bookstores and Veritas nationwide and online. $14.99 is the price, www.veritas.ie. To author Professor Mona O'Moore, founding director of the National Anti-Bullying Research Centre. Thank you so much for your insights this morning. I think you'll have helped a lot of parents maybe take the step towards, you know, tackling this subject matter head on. So thanks for being with us.
You're very welcome, Brenda. Thank you.
Bye.